Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about knowing God. And the first 4 days of this week I was basically just trying to make the case about how important it is to know God. Most people go for what God can do for them. They don't go for God personally. And even though you may have needs in your life and it may be critical and you may think, well, the priority has to be getting over this problem, the priority is really knowing God. Everything else comes out of knowing God. Let me use a passage of Scripture over in 2 Peter chapter 1. And the Apostle Peter basically was saying the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, how? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Most people try and get grace and peace multiplied unto them through prayer, or living right, or doing something to earn or receive credit so that God will move in their life. This says it comes through the knowledge of God. In the next verse it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This says all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, what does that include? Well, all things. If you need healing, if you need prosperity, if you need joy, if you need peace, if you need to be blessed emotionally in relationships, if you need wisdom and insight, all things come through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. If you have a problem in your life, now this is a radical statement, but I challenge you to think about this, and I believe you'll have to accept it as being true. If you have a problem in your life, you've got a knowledge problem. Not just intellectual knowledge, but you don't know God on a heart level in an experiential way, or according to Ephesians 3:19, a scripture that I used earlier this week, you would be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're sick in your body, did you know that knowing God will produce health? If you're poor, knowing God will produce wealth. If you are struggling in relationships, knowing God and experiencing His love will help you to turn around and love the very people that are giving you a hard time. I'm telling you that this is how the kingdom works, and this is the point that I've been trying to get across. Until knowing God becomes a priority, you aren't going to know God in an intimate, close, personal way. I use this verse over in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, and it says, you shall seek and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You can't just give token seeking to God. You can't just do it because your back is against the wall and you want to get through this crisis so that you can go back to living your own, under your own steam and under your own wisdom. We need to get to a place to where knowing God is the focus, the number one thing. Or you could say it this way. When you get to a place to where you can't live without knowing God in an intimate, close, personal way, then you will know God. As long as you can live without it, you will. When you get to where you can't live without knowing God, then you will come to know God. That's just the way that it works. So this is a point that I've been trying to get across, is just to put an emphasis on this and say that this is what you need. And I know that there's many of you who watch this program because you have specific needs. You are looking for an answer in some particular department of your life. And seeking God with your whole heart and making God number one in your life isn't on your radar. But I'm trying to put it there and tell you that this is really what makes everything else work. Here's another way of expressing this. Out of John chapter 3, let me take a passage of Scripture that is so familiar to most people that they don't know what it says. They've gotten to where they don't really see the depth of what's being said. John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now again, I say that this verse is so familiar to most people, they haven't really thought about this and analyzed it. This verse is used primarily to say, that Jesus loved you so much that he came and died for your sins so that you wouldn't go to hell, but instead would go to heaven. And that's basically the way that people take this verse and apply it. And that is not what this is talking about. For instance, everlasting life here is not synonymous with heaven. And you can prove that in the context. There's a number of scriptures, but right here in the third chapter of John, the same chapter, it says in verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This says that if you believe on the Lord, you already have everlasting life. So this can't be talking about something that takes place in the future in heaven. Everlasting life isn't just talking about living forever in heaven. That's the way that most people have interpreted this, that the reason Jesus died for our sins was so that we wouldn't perish, but in contrast, go to heaven. But this isn't talking about heaven, because everlasting life is now a present tense possession and reality. Now that's important that you understand this. So what is this talking about? What is the everlasting life that he's telling us that he came to produce? Look over in John chapter 17. This is the exact same author who is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And John chapter 17 is a prayer that Jesus prayed the night before his crucifixion. And here's what he said in verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And in verse 3 it says, "And this is life eternal." This is just like if you wanted to look up eternal life in a dictionary. If there is some dictionary that the Bible, you know, would give the Bible definition of what these phrases and terms mean. Here is the definition of eternal life. "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Boy, now that is a powerful statement. Here is the definition. Eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ whom God sent. Now put that back into John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent." And again, I emphasize that this isn't just an intellectual knowledge, talking about knowing about him, having somebody else mention God and say, "Oh yeah, I've heard of him." No, this is talking about an experiential knowledge. You know, there's many of you that, you know, if somebody says, "Have you ever heard Andrew Womack on television?" You say, "Oh yeah, I know him because you've watched my programs. Maybe you've even gotten some of my tape sets or something like this." And so you say, "You know me." Then there would be other people that maybe have come to one of my meetings and I've talked to you, and you say, "Oh yeah, I know him. I got my picture made or something." But you know what? It is totally different what the Bible is talking about. Knowing a person is like my wife knows me in the scriptural sense of the word. You know, in the Bible it says Adam knew Eve and she conceived. It's talking about an intimate personal relationship. And so when it's saying that the goal of salvation here isn't to perish, but instead have knowledge of God and of Jesus, it's talking about having an intimate personal relationship with God. And so let me make some statements based on John 3:16 here. That the Scripture is saying that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus into this world so that whoever would believe on him wouldn't perish, but instead would have this intimate, close, personal relationship with God. So this is saying that the goal of God sending Jesus to this earth wasn't to forgive you of your sin. Now I know that this just shocks people. Some people think, "What are you saying?" Now I believe that Jesus did forgive us of all of our sins. I believe that actually more than most people do. I believe all sins, past, present, and future sins, the sins of the entire world have been paid for. I believe that Jesus did paid for our sins and did forgive our sins. I am not saying he didn't do that, but I'm saying that wasn't the goal of salvation. It was like sin was a barrier that stood between us and God. And so, for us to enter into this intimate, close relationship that the Bible here is calling eternal life, for us to have that, God had to remove this barrier, and he did. And Jesus bore our sins and totally obliterated this barrier that stood between us and God. And so, yes, forgiveness of sins is a wonderful and important part of our salvation, but it's not the goal of our salvation. The barrier was removed so that we could enter into intimate, close, personal relationship with God. And not just when we die and go to heaven, but it says in John 3:36 that we now have eternal life. We now have this intimacy with God. And so let me say it this way, that if all a person did was confess Jesus as their Lord and pray to receive forgiveness of their sins so that they wouldn't die, but instead go to heaven. And if they've obtained that, and if something happened, they would be ushered directly into the presence of God because they are truly born again. If a person has experienced that and yet doesn't have intimacy and relationship and really know God, you are missing the point of salvation. And I know that that has just shocked some people because, again, our culture today, our religious culture, has made the goal of salvation, getting your sins forgiven so that you could go to heaven instead of hell. And that basically is the message that's being taught. And it comes as a total shock that anybody would say that there is another goal. Well, going to heaven is a tremendous, tremendous benefit of getting your sins forgiven and being saved. And I am not minimizing that. And as far as length of time, we are going to spend eternity in heaven. So if you compare eternity to this brief span of time that we're spending here on the earth, well then yes, I'd have to say that eternity is much more important. But the scripture, and there's other scriptures I'm going to bring to bear on this, but just the few that I've used here today make it very clear that the purpose of Jesus' coming was so that you wouldn't perish. This isn't just talking about eternity in hell. It's talking about perishing right here, having depression and sickness and disease and heartbreak and hurt and loneliness and all of this kind of stuff. He doesn't want you to perish right here in this life, but instead, he wants you to have intimacy, knowledge, relationship with him in this life. And in the world to come, there is eternal life. But you know, I think this is one reason that the early New Testament church had a greater impact on their generation than what we're having today. I mean, here we are. I'm using television. We have radio. We have books. We have tapes. We have things that were not available to the first century Christians. And yet in 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, the New Testament church had basically evangelized the known world of their day. I've actually read some historical statements by Josephus and other people, first century historians, that said that basically the known world had had the gospel presented to them in 30 years period of time. Alexandria in Egypt was over the majority of those people in Alexandria, one of the second, third largest or most influential cities in the world back in the first century, was over 50% Christian within 30 years of the resurrection of Jesus. How did the early New Testament church make this kind of an impact? And they were under severe persecution. They didn't have the benefit of radio and television, books, tapes. They had persecution instead. How is it that they were able to spread the gospel? Well, there's a lot of factors, but one of the main factors is that they weren't preaching, repent or else, turn or burn, believe or go to hell. That was not the message of the first century church. What they were preaching was relationship with God. Let me give you a passage of scripture that will verify this. This is the Apostle John writing over in 1 John chapter 1. And he says in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. All of these verses are talking about the person of the Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about. The eternal life was Jesus. They're saying, we've seen him, we've touched him, we've handled him. They weren't preaching a doctrine. They didn't have a moral code. They didn't have just a religious dogma that they were preaching. They were representing a person. And in the next verse it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know that there isn't a single thing mentioned in these introductory statements about eternal forgiveness or living forever in heaven or something like this? It was talking about present tense. We are sharing this with you so that you could have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The early New Testament church was preaching a relationship with God through Jesus. They were talking about how God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that if you would believe on Him, you wouldn't perish, but instead you could have this intimacy with God. That's what they preached. And you know what? It drew people to them just like, you know, a magnet draws metal or something. It was just this irresistible force. People were drawn because this is what people long for. They are looking for something beyond doctrines and creeds and another intellectual thing. They want a heartfelt relationship with God. And the church as a whole today has changed the message to where it's not about knowing God. It's not about relationship with God. It's about believe or else, turn or burn. God's going to get you, repent, or you're going to go to hell. Now, even though that is a true statement, and if all there was to Christianity is just believe on Jesus so that you won't go to hell and instead you get to go to heaven, you know what? That would be awesome, and that would be more than any of us deserve. And if that's all there was to it, I would preach that because it's still better than any alternative. But that is not the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is, it's not about eternity, although that's important and certainly that is a factor, and I'm not saying we don't preach that, but I'm saying the emphasis should be on knowing God. The emphasis ought to be about, if you don't want this grief and sorrow, if you want that emptiness on the inside of you fulfilled, if you want to quit being depressed and discouraged and fearful, if you want the ability to handle all of the pressures that living in a fallen world produces, then you know what? You ought to know God. God loves you, and God wants to come and fill you with Himself and give you His ability, and you can start using His wisdom and His love to deal with people. And if we were talking about personal relationship with God, I believe that we would be drawing a much greater crowd than what the church is doing today. But again, we have changed the message from know God to repent so you won't go to hell. And even though, you know, that would still be a valid motivation to come into relationship with God is just to avoid hell. Most people aren't thinking about eternity. They should be, but they aren't. Most people are struggling so hard to muddle through the everyday hell that people are living in here in this earth. I mean, their broken marriages, their children, and financial and physical sickness, and broken, all of these things that happen to people. They are just struggling so much with this that they aren't looking long term. And so because of that, most people, it's not that they doubt that God exists. It's not that they doubt that heaven and hell exist. But they just aren't thinking about that. They are focused right here, and the message of the gospel should primarily be that God gave His Son to wipe away this barrier, sin, that stood between you and Him so that you could know God, so that you could begin to have life in the sense that God has it, that you could begin to experience God in a way that you've never known Him before. And if we were preaching that message, you know what? I believe that people would still be coming to the Lord in greater numbers than what we see today. But I tell you, this is not the goal to most people. The Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we aren't preaching that knowing God is the goal of salvation, then people aren't going to have faith for that. They aren't going to know that that's the object, and therefore people are falling short of what salvation is really all about. Salvation is about knowing God. And if all you did was get your sins forgiven so that you won't go to hell, well, that's wonderful, but you're missing the real benefit of salvation here in this life. You aren't knowing God. The reason that Jesus came to this earth to forgive sins was so that you could know God. And if you don't have a vibrant, active life of knowing God, then you are really missing the purpose of your salvation. You may have your sins forgiven. If you were hit by a car today and died, you might go directly to heaven, but you are missing out on what salvation is really all about. And because of this, we've got a lot of people who know God in name, and they claim to be Christians, but they don't know Him practically. They aren't manifesting. They aren't living a victorious life. Therefore, they aren't manifesting this. They are a terrible advertisement to the unsaved about what a Christian is. And because of it, we are spending big bucks, big effort, trying to reach out and touch people's lives and having a much less impact on our society than the early church did, because they preached a different message. They were preaching about knowing God, about intimacy with God, or what the Bible calls eternal life. And I tell you, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what this teaching is about, is trying to set things straight in this area, to put down the right foundation, that the goal of salvation isn't to get finances or to get your body healed, even though I believe in all of those things. The goal of salvation is to know God. And out of knowing God comes everything that you will need. And then icing on the cake is eternity in heaven. And man, that is a tremendous benefit. But I tell you what, if there was no heaven, you know what? I'd still be serving God. I'd still be doing what I'm doing, because salvation is awesome right here in this life. You can know God, and it'll give you a dynamic to your life that other people who don't know God don't have. And this is what salvation is meant to bring to you. Not just forgiveness of sins, not just taking away a fear about dying and going to hell, but it opens up a door so that you can know God. And I tell you, that's tremendous. I've got a lot more to share on this, but I'm going to continue it on my programs next week.